Hi, and welcome to Morning Manna. My name's Ron, and I'm going to be sharing with you today out of 2 Samuel chapter 12. But before we do that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, just thank you, Father, for your love for us, and Lord, how your word is so good to deal with the issues in our lives. And so, Father, we just pray you do that as we go through your word today. In your name we pray. Amen. So this section in the Bible is dealing with David. And it's interesting, David's name actually comes up in the Bible over 1,000 times, which is interesting because he's such a prominent figure. I think he becomes a picture of us, and we can sure relate to him. Not exactly, not specifically and necessarily all the details, but there's definitely things in his life that we can relate to. And definitely as we go through the Psalms and he's singing these things to the Lord, we can enter into those Psalms and connect with him. And this is a part in his life where I definitely think we can connect with David. So just to kind of give you a little backdrop where we're at in 2 Samuel 12, right before then, David is doing very well. He is gaining victory over his enemies. He's taking ground. He's just gaining victories, doing well. He's growing in the Lord. He's showing grace to his people. But then, unfortunately, he has a great sin that takes place in his life. And and many of you are familiar with this story, but it's his it's the sin of adultery with Bathsheba, and he commits adultery with her, and then she becomes pregnant. And to compound things, to make things hopefully even go away, but it just makes the situation worse, he calls for her husband to come out of battle to cover it up. But he, and he'll do it. He comes out of battle and he says, now go to be with your wife so we can kind of cover up the whole sin. But Uriah will not do it. He's too righteous of a guy. He's like, I feel bad about this. I'm leaving my men behind. So David tries it again, gets him drunk, and Uriah won't do it. And so David decides, well, fine. I'm going to give you these orders to take to Joab, your commander. And basically they're Uriah's death orders. It's basically tells Joab, put him in a part in the battle and then just withdraw from him. So he'll die. And, but Joab doesn't do it. He says, no, I'm not. And probably because he'd look bad in front of his men. So he decides to put a bunch of men around Uriah in a part in the battle where they're going to be, susceptible to being killed. Well, and, susceptible to archers. And so it works. The Uriah dies, the men die around him, and all is kind of covered up. And the interesting thing, when David hears about it, when he hears about these other men dying around Uriah, he does not have a heart for them. He kind of just sounds like, well, that's collateral damage. It's all for the greater good. I'm thinking is how he's justifying that in his mind. And it's sad to see this decline of David where he's had such a heart for his people before. And so after that happens, he takes Bathsheba back to be his wife. And it seems like all is covered up. But it says at the end of 2 Samuel 11, it says, but the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. And it all is done before him, and the Lord's going to make it right. So we'll pick up there in 2 Samuel 12:1. It says, and the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said, there were two men in a city, that the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had very many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing but one little ewe lamb, which he had bought. And he brought it up, and it grew up with him and with his children. It used to eat it used to eat of his morsel and drink from his cup and lie in his arms, and it was like a daughter to him. Now there was a traveler to the rich. Now there came a traveler to the rich man, and he was unwilling to take one of his own flock or herd to prepare for the guest who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. Then David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, the man who has done this deserves to die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity." So the word comes to Nathan, and Nathan has this story that he shares with David. And of course, we know with the backdrop and reading the previous chapter, we know what the story is about, but David's unaware. And it's the story of a rich man and a poor man, and the poor man has one little ewe lamb. He just treats it like a family member, loves on that thing. And the rich man, who has a guest come, says, instead of taking from where you'd think, taking from all the many lambs that he has, he says, no, I'm going to take from that one man's, that one poor man's lamb and serve it to my guest. And, you know, it's such a contrast, you know, it's such a picture. And of course, what Nathan's trying to get across works well. And David, he just buys in on it, cannot see what's going on there. And it's interesting because David, he comes down really hard on this guy. He even says, as the Lord lives, the man who has done this deserves to die. He gets the death penalty. And on top of that, he even says that he's going to pay back fourfold. Boy, that's pretty harsh and a little irrational. I mean, I really wouldn't worry about paying the fourfold if I know I was going to die at the end of the day. But that's what David came up with. But it's also interesting to note that David said he did this in, it says in 12:6, because he had no pity. Interesting. David's even getting down to discerning spirits here. He's pronouncing judgment, and he's even necking down to what this guy's doing wrong. I always get leery of people, and I can even hear it myself at times when you're really coming down hard on somebody. You've judged them, you've judged rightly, and it's you feel like you've got them all dialed in, and then all of a sudden, but unfortunately, you don't have any love there. And Nathan, then, he totally flips the script here in David's world, and he lays it out in 2 Samuel 12:7. Nathan says to David, "You are the man. You are that man, David. The one that had no pity, you were him." It's got to be such a sad statement and such an astonishing one. And you can only imagine the reaction to David when he all of a sudden just, Nathan just flipped the script on him and just turned it, the attention right back to himself. I was reading a book the other day by Gary Chapman, and it was, he deals a lot with married couples. And he was talking about when married couples are having conflict, what he'll often do is have each couple write something, write all the issues that they have with the other spouse. And he says, boy, he says, it's interesting because you're watching the pencils working and they're just writing feverishly. And sometimes they'll even need another piece of paper just to keep on writing. And he says, okay, that's good. He says, why don't we have you write issues that your own issues, just start listing those out. And he says, and that part's kind of hilarious because they'll write one and then all of a sudden they'll kind of pause and maybe they'll write another one, but they're really struggling to even maybe get out two. And his point was, is that they're just so focused on their spouse's issues that they can't even realize that there's issues with themselves. And he says, and if I can get them to admit or confess sin and own 5% of the problem, 5%. Now, we could all easily say that I can own 5% of my issue in a marriage or conflict with my children or whatever it is. But what he's trying to do is provide that chink in the armor to say, oh, I have some issues. And usually with that 5%, when they're starting to confess and starting to lay it out before the Lord, and then the hope is eventually to their spouse, is that they start owning more than 5. It becomes 20 or whatever. And it builds. And before you know it, you can say, well, with these issues, you know, at this part, it's me. It's not my spouse. And it's an interesting exercise, but it's a good one. It's not fun, but it's good. And here Nathan's laying this out to David. I'm just going to pick back up there in 12:7. Nathan says to David, "You are the man. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you out of the hand of Saul. And I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your arms, and gave you the house of Israel and of Judah. And if this were too little, I would have added to you as much more. Why have you despised the word of the Lord to do what is evil in his sight? You have struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and taken his wife to be your wife, and have killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me, and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, I will raise up evil against you out of your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, and he will lie with your wives in the sight of the sun. For you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before Israel and all the sun." So it's interesting now, Nathan is pronouncing now the judgment. He says, this is you, David, and because you did all this, there is going to be, the sword's never going to part from your household. And we're going to kind of talk about this here in the next couple of weeks, of some of the fallout that comes from this. But one point I thought was very interesting is he laid out everything that David did. But before that, he even pointed out one thing that was very interesting to me. He said, "David, before this happened, I was blessing you prominently. And if all this had been too little, I would have given you even more." And that's something I'd like to just share with you today. If you're in a spot where you're kind of conflicted and you're feeling like there's a real temptation out there in front of you, I would encourage you to meditate that all the blessings that you currently have, and it's good to pause on those and be thankful for those. That's a great place to start. And then realize that the Lord's word to you today is that he has even more for you and for me, even more than he's already blessed us with. He has more. If we just hang in there. If we just don't bite on that sin that's right in front of us. And then I love, so Nathan lays this all out before David. And I think it is interesting to note David's response here. In 2 Samuel 12:13. David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." I think we know this story, or many of us are familiar with this story, so we know that David acknowledges it. But I think it's an interesting thing because there's a lot of kings that follow after David. When they're confronted with a prophet of God, they kill him. Or they have them put out, or they do some bad things to him. But David doesn't do that. He acknowledges it right up front. He's confronted with it, and he says, "I have sinned against the Lord." And that's kind of an interesting statement, too, because you would think, well, yes, you've sinned against the Lord, but what about Uriah? I mean, what about those men that were around him? You sinned against all those guys, too. But he doesn't say that. He says, "I have sinned against the Lord." And in Psalm 51, when this psalm is written in context with Nathan dealing with him, he says more specifically to the Lord, he says, "Against you and you only have I sinned." And I think that's good for us to remember. When we're weighted down with sin, we feel like oftentimes like we can never make it right because we've wronged so many people, because we've done all these things to all these people, and we can just never make it right to them. But the truth is that at the end of the day, we sin against the Lord and Him only. And the great thing is, as He said, I've forgiven you for it. And I'm going to just read this ending part of what Nathan's reaction to David. And he says, so David says, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord has also put away your sin. You shall not die. And so it's interesting that the Lord had already given the word to Nathan that He's put away the sin. And that's His word to you and I. The sin that we've committed, it's great to confess it and get clean before the Lord. And David even talks about that in Psalm 51 also and other Psalms. It's a great place to be, is in that place of confession, because you're just getting it all cleared before the Lord. But the great thing is He's put that sin away. And so we can operate under that victory. And even though there's consequences, and again, we're going to talk about those here in the upcoming weeks, the great thing is that we can move forward in that victory knowing that God's forgiven us. So just encourage you with that today, and just pray you have a blessed day. Thank you.